I've had a a message on my heart all day today, and I've been studying and praying about it, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We'll be in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6. We're going to read a shorter portion of Scripture tonight than we normally would, and we'll draw our message from this text. In Luke, in chapter number 6, and when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to start reading in verse number 46. Of course, Jesus is he's teaching here. He's teaching his disciples. He's teaching Christians. He's teaching people how to observe things in the faith. He's putting to rest fables and traditions of men, and he's expounding upon the Word of God and the precepts of God. And he teaches us some wonderful things in Luke chapter number 6. I'd encourage all of us tonight to go home and read the entire chapter. But in Luke's Gospel, this will be the first parable that he will teach in this particular book, and it begins in verse number 46. It says this, "And why call me ye Lord, or why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The Lord Jesus in this parable, he gives us a resemblance. He says in verse number 47, "I will show you to whom he is like." And we'll talk a little bit about that as we introduce our text. But if the Lord would help me to preach tonight, I'd like to preach on this thought. Do you see the resemblance? Do you see the resemblance? Let's pray. God, we need you tonight. Lord, we need you just as much tonight as we ever have. And Lord, if there'll be any preaching done tonight, it'll be by the power of your Spirit. Lord, you know that I cannot do it on my own. And God, that I need your help. Every word spoken, I pray it be from you. Oh Lord, I pray that the meditations of my mind throughout this message will be pleasing unto you. And God, that you just might fill me with your Spirit, Lord, that I might preach something that could help us tonight or show us Jesus and convict us of the things in our life that we could do better to much more glorify you effectively, God. And Lord, we just pray that you have your will and your way, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds. God, help us to glorify you tonight in truth and in spirit. And we'll thank you for all that you'll do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In verse number 46, he makes this statement. He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, when you parallel this passage with what you'll find in Matthew chapter number 7, this same particular teaching, Jesus will say it this way, that many will be there in that day, in the day of the resurrection, saying, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not do many works in your name?" And Jesus will say to them in this day, and understand, we're talking about the great white throne judgment. We're not talking about the judgment of believers. We're not talking about the judgment seat of Christ. There is not a general judgment over all things. There are different, distinct judgments throughout the New Testament. But Jesus will say to them that said, "Lord, Lord, in that day, depart from me, I never knew you." Lots of people went to churches. He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." He'll call them workers of iniquity. Those who would do things in His name, those who would cast out devils, so to say, those who would prophesy, those who would do these things, they are working iniquity. Understand this here tonight, that if you are not saved, if you are not on God's side, you are an enemy of God. You are against God. If you are indifferent, if you are lukewarm, you are the enemy of God. But Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, he explains in verse number 46 that words can fall hollow and words do not mean anything if there are no actions behind them. And he explains that a little bit in verse number 47 by saying, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." James will say it this way, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Solomon wrote in the second proverb, he said, "My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so will thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding." It's one thing for us to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I'm glad you're here tonight. Hallelujah. I'd love to have this place packed out. But if all we're doing on Wednesday night is coming and warming the pew and listening to the preacher and not taking any of it home when we leave out of these doors, then we're missing the point. We're not taking home what God wants us to take home. He said that thou mightest incline thine ear unto wisdom and thy heart unto understanding.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I will liken that man, the man that heareth my words and doeth them. I will show you to whom he is like."
Amen.
And Jesus goes on to teach him what we'll call a parable. When I was at Taze Valley, I taught children during the summer in the Sunday evening services in a class that we called the Summer Clubs. And one particular year, the Lord put it on my heart to teach through the more simple parables of the Bible. And I remember in the introductory lesson, as I taught those children, explaining to them what a parable was, the study material that I'd been given gave it this definition, and I like it. It's a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, Jesus will give physical illustrations to things that about you, things you and I understand, in order to convey or to communicate heavenly spiritual truths that otherwise we would not understand. He uses these illustrative demonstrations and these stories and these parables in order to convey the truths of God to you and I. And he gives us one right here in Luke chapter number 6 regarding the house that is built on the foundation of sand and the house that is built on the foundation of the rock. See, there's importance, there's power behind illustrations. The 18th century preacher oftentimes referred to, the 19th century preacher, forgive me, oftentimes referred to as the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was known. One of the marks of his ministry was that he was such an illustrative preacher, and that he could use illustrations that would paint beautiful pictures of God's Word and convey truths to the hearers. And he explained it this way. He said that illustrations in messages or illustrations for truths are like windows to a house. He said you can't build the whole house out of windows, it'll fall. He said, but nobody looks at a house. It's not appealing to anybody if there's no windows, if they can't see what's inside of it. And Jesus would teach these parables. There's no greater illustrator than the greatest preacher who ever walked the face of this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes he taught just in these parables. He taught with these pictures seen here. And what we find in verse 48 and in verse number 49 is the resemblance of a house built on a rock and the resemblance of the house built that goes to ruin. For all intents and purposes tonight, we'll call them the rock and the ruin. And I would like to examine a few differences from what we find here in the Scripture tonight between those two houses. The first thing that I'd like for you and I to notice tonight is the superficial difference between the rock and the ruin. The man who builds his house upon the ruin, the Bible will say this in verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without that foundation, that built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know what the person who builds their foundation upon the ruin will, upon the earth will say? He'll say, I'm going to build my house, I'm going to build whatever I'm trying to do for the glory of God upon things that are visible, upon what's on the surface, upon things that are seen. That's exactly what the natural man would wish for you and I to do tonight.
Amen.
See, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. If it was by sight, it wouldn't be faith, would it? And the natural man says, I want material things. I want tangible things. I want things that I can see, things that I can touch, things that I can feel. I want my security anchored in the things of the world. There is a superficial difference between the ruin and between the rock. The man who builds his house upon the foundation of the rock says this, I know there's more to it than what I see. He looks at that very same land. He sees that very same earth. He looks down road and sees that very same stream that is going to flood and is going to storm and is going to potentially beat against that house. And he says, I'm not trusting in what I see right here, but rather I'm going to trust in what's unseen. Because under that superficiality, under what's on the surface, there's the rock. Amen. There's the foundation that he knows that he can trust. Listen to me. I will not stand here tonight and tell you that there are not times that I've trusted in the superficial things and I've depended on a number in a bank account or I've depended on somebody's word or I've not put my trust in those things, because if I did, I'd be lying. But I will say this. There's going to be times in your life that you are indeed going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And maybe the money might not be there when you need it. Maybe your loved ones might not be getting out of the hospital quite as soon as you thought they would. Maybe they might not be waking up from that intubator, from that coma, or from that life support machine. And maybe there's going to be some times in your life that you have nothing earthly, nothing superficial to lean upon, nothing to trust, and so you have to call upon your Heavenly Father. You got to trust in things that are unseen. The Bible tells us that the visible things of creation were created by things which are unseen. That we understand that although we might not have ever seen heaven, that we might not have seen the throne of God, you can rest assured here tonight that there's a heavenly host of angels high above us singing the praises of Jehovah God, crying out the songs of the holy hills of Zion, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the earth is full of His glory, and He's worthy to receive power and honor and glory. And you can believe here tonight that your Savior Jesus Christ is exactly where He said He is, at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you and I.
Amen.
I'm going to trust in those things that are unseen. I'm going to trust. I'm going to build my foundation on the rock. It might not be superficial. It might not be what people can see. It might not be what's tangible, but I know it's there. Just about this time last year, I had the privilege of going to Israel. And my favorite thing that I saw along that entire tour was the garden tomb. How that it's still empty. They believe it to be the one that the Lord Jesus Himself was laid in. The inscription was read to belong to Joseph of Arimathea. The stone was gone. They had tried to seal it at some point. But I'm glad to report here tonight. I'll tell you this. I didn't have to go all the way to Israel to know that tomb was empty. Because as an 8-year-old boy on August the 4th, 2002, through the eyes of faith, I trusted in things that were unseen. I realized there was a God in heaven who wanted to save me, who wanted to use me, who wanted to clean up my life, who wanted to make something out of me, and I trusted and believed on His name, having not seen those things.
Amen.
You know, that's the way your Bible describes Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love.
Amen.
But the foolish man built his house upon the earth. That's the superficial difference between the two. Not only do I find a superficial difference, but I find a straining difference. A straining difference. The Bible says this in verse 48, and he is like a man which built an house and digged deep. Now, it doesn't say that about the man who built it upon the earth, does it? It says, and he was like a man without foundation, built a house upon the earth. The straining difference here is that the man who builds his house that will go to ruin will say, I'm satisfied with what's on the surface, and what's there is good enough for me. The reason we have so many families breaking up, the reason we have so many churches closing their doors, the reason we have so many people walking away from the faith is because there are people, Christians, that say, I'm satisfied with the world.
Amen.
We sing that old gospel hymn, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The man who builds his house upon comfort, the man who builds his house upon ease, the man who always looks for the easiest and the most convenient route to take, that's the man who says, well, that's good enough for me. I won't have to work. I won't have to sweat. There won't be any blood, sweat, and tears involved. I won't have to invest too much of it. It won't take too much away from me. That's what I want. It's what's convenient. Amen. It's what's easy. There's no struggle. There's no strain. But the man who builds his house upon the firm foundation of the rock says, I'm willing to dig. I'm willing to go down. I'm willing to work for it. There's always got to be a desire in the Christian's life to grow, Amen. To keep on digging, to keep on plowing. I remember the very first thing I ever got asked to do, it was 5 years ago this March that I joined the Taze Valley Baptist Church, and the very first thing I ever got asked to do to help out around the church was dig a ditch. And Pastor Green found me after church. He said, we're going to need some help tomorrow. He said, you ever dug a ditch? And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, come with work clothes. We could really use some help. And there was supposed to be about five or six guys that came, and there was two of us. And I never ran a rock saw before. And it wasn't just digging a ditch. It wasn't just making a little water channel. But we had to use a rock saw and cut through about 25 feet of concrete on both sides. And peel that concrete, about 6-7 inches of concrete, up out of the ground and blacktop. And then once we got through the concrete, we had to dig about a 2.5-foot trench to run a water line from the main sanctuary all the way to the bus garage. I remember out there in the sun with that shovel, shoveling that ditch, thinking, what in the world have I gotten myself into? And I remember we got the ditch dug, and the man who was over the project, he said, well, we're not done yet. And he said, I'm way too big to fit inside of that ditch, so I'm going to need you to get down there. And me, I know it's hard to believe, but I was a lot smaller 5 years ago than I am now. Even then, I had to take my shoulders and I had to tuck them in and I had to get down inside of that wet, cold mud with that concrete grinding against my head and grinding against my bare arms. And I had to crawl through that ditch and I had to run that line and I had to push it down in there. And then once we got the line set, he said, well, we're still not done. There's still more to go. And I thought, man, I picked a wrong church to go to. And he handed me a reciprocating saw, and I barely ever used one of those in my life. He handed me a reciprocating saw, and he said, I need you to dig down under the bus garage all the way to where the bathroom is at, and I need you to cut those pipes, and I need you to take out those old pipes, I need to run this new pipe to it. He said, you're the only one that's little enough to fit down there. So I had that saw, and I was halfway upside down in the middle of that ditch trying to saw off that pipe, and I had no clue what I was doing. And I remember going home that day thinking, what in the world have I gotten myself into? And that next Sunday at church, there were men I didn't know, men I never recognized, men who maybe didn't go out on soul winning visitation, but they served in different ways in the church. And they came up to me. They were the bus workers or the garage. And they shook my hand and they said, thank you so much. We've been trying to get that fixed. We've been trying to get that done forever. Thank you so much. And I thought to myself, that right there makes it all worth it. And listen to me tonight. I got something to say. We do not serve to get a thank you.
Amen.
We serve to say thank you.
Thank you. Amen.
But let me tell you something tonight. There's going to come a time when you and I are going to stand before our Creator and we're going to give an account for the things that we've done here on this earth. And I hope and I pray that in that day He'll look at you and He'll look at I and He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That'll make it all worth it right there.
Amen.
Just to get up there and see Jesus. And listen to me. We'll get up there and you and I are going to have some regrets. You better believe that. Things we could have done, things we should have done that we didn't do. I pray that God will help us every single day, that He'll convict us to treat each and every day that we get to serve Him like it's our very last. As we sing that song, listen to me, it gets tough, and I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's not tough. If being a Christian was easy, everybody'd do it. There's going to be some times that you got to dig. There's going to be some times that you got to sweat. There's going to be some times that there's tears. There's going to be some times that you go to bed and you're sunburnt and your back's hurt and you feel awful, but you think to yourself, I left it all on the battlefield for Jesus. We sing that song all the time. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will all the toils of life repay. There's going to be a payday someday, as R.G. Lee used to say. But you and I got to dig. We got to dig. See, that's the difference between the man whose house goes to ruin and the man who builds his house on the rock. The one says, the ground's good enough for me. The earth's good enough for me. The other one says, I'm going to dig. I'm going to work. I'm going to make the best of what I've got. I also see a streaming difference. See, in this particular account, in Matthew's account, it talks of a storm, and there's no contradiction there. Oftentimes when it storms, the stream's going to get heavy, ain't it? We see it all the time right here behind the house. I had 3 foot of water there a couple weeks ago. But there's a streaming difference between these houses. See, there wasn't so much a difference between the stream, because listen to me tonight.
Amen.
The same stream hit both houses.
That's exactly right.
You know what Joel Osteen and the Joy Boys will tell you? They say, you sow your seeds and you're faithful in this and you're faithful in that and you subscribe to all these things and pay all this money to me and you won't ever have trouble. You just live for God and you live your best life now and everything's going to be okay. There's only one problem. He didn't get that from the Bible.
Amen.
See, the man who built his house on that rock, the man who built his house on that firm foundation, he still got that same storm. He still got that same flood.
Come on.
It came his way. But I want to notice a little difference here. One of them was ready for it and one of them wasn't. There's a streaming difference. The Bible said, Solomon would say in Ecclesiastes, all things come to alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked and to the good and to the clean and to the unclean and to him that sacrificeth and him that sacrificeth not, as is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. He said, listen, whether you're righteous, whether you're unrighteous, there's going to be hard times coming your way. Preacher Ray Humphrey used to say it this way, I pray when the storms come, he said that God will either take me out of the storm or that he'll give me peace in the midst of the storm. The man built upon the rock will have peace in the storm. My pastor used to always tell me this. He said, in the Christian life, you're in one of three places. Either you're getting ready to go through a storm, you're in the middle of a storm, or you just came out of a storm. He said, but there are going to be storms in the Christian life. But the difference, the streaming difference here, is that one man had a foundation and the other man didn't. The ruin, soft and insufficient, of no real use. Monday I had the privilege of going out working on a survey crew, something I never done before, and I enjoyed it. We was walking around in the woods and we were taking shots and we were lining up things to get coordinates and trying to map out this property, about 140 acres. And I remember we were walking down the hill towards the end of the day and the sun was shining. It was a real, real steep mountain. My dad used to call him a mule face mountain. And we were coming down that hill and the man warned me that was walking ahead of me. He said, I think there's a freshwater spring close by. He said, watch where you step. And I didn't quite understand what he meant until I stepped where he was talking about. And I slid halfway down that hill and that water was so wet and it was so sloppy. And I thought to myself, what kind of good is that ground for? See, you don't want to build your foundation on something that's unstable.
Amen.
You don't want to build your foundation on something that you're just going to slip and fall out from under. That's going to give way. When the least amount of pressure comes, it's gone. Mm-hmm. See, the man who builds his house upon the rock, he realizes that the rock is solid, that the rock is unmovable, that the rock is going to be consistent, that it ain't going nowhere, that it ain't going to change. My Bible tells me, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation of all. He's the centerpiece of it all. He's both the cornerstone and the capstone. The Bible says, in whom the whole building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Yours and mine faith has to be built upon one person, the person Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You build your foundation upon this preacher, you're building it upon the earth. You're building upon mud. You're building upon dirt. You're building upon something that could just give way real easy. But you build your foundation upon Jesus, he's never going to move. He's never going to change. He's never going to let you down. He's always going to be just the way that he was. And lastly tonight, we'll call this the standing difference. The Bible says this, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. Like that. Immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. saw some footage just this week of a tornado going through Oklahoma, and it was devastating, and it was tearing up houses, and it was completely flattening out trailer parks, and it was picking up full-size trucks and throwing them across fields. And I saw the aftermath of that tornado, and I saw the footage, and it was just rubble, and it was just debris, and you couldn't, it looked like a garbage dump. It looked like a landfill. You couldn't even tell that it was a residential area, that there were any houses there. See, the man who builds his house upon the earth, the man who's left with the ruin, you know what he's left with? He's left with exactly what he started with. The storm came and he's got nothing to show. All he's got is a little bit of rubble, a little bit of useless nothing left over. Wouldn't it be a shame for you and I to live our lives with the foundation built upon the earth, have nothing standing? Amen. Come judgment day, come the day of our death, have nothing there, nothing to offer. But the man who built his house upon the rock, when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Said the house built upon the earth was immediately torn down, but this house wasn't even shaken. And the Bible says, for it was founded upon a rock. Why? Because the rock's strong. Because the rock's just exactly where it's always been, doing exactly what it's always done. It hasn't changed. Amen. It's a firm foundation. It's a fixed foundation. See, doubt will try to creep into our hearts and our minds. We just sang the song a moment ago. When the storms of fear and doubt assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail.
Amen.
See, when those doubts arise in our lives, you know what they say? They say it's not worth it to do all that digging. All that digging isn't worth it. All that work isn't worth it. All that sweat. All those Saturdays you could have been somewhere else that you were out knocking doors. All those nights you could have gone home and gone to bed, but you stayed on the computer printing out bulletins and making up financial sheets. All that time you wasted driving and never picking anybody up, say it's not worth it. But at the end of your life, if you kept digging and you built your foundation upon that rock, you'll say, I got something still standing.
Amen.
See, doubt will say, what is there to gain? Say, I'm still standing. See, the world will look at the man who's digging and the man who's serving and the man who's working for God and say, well, you didn't get very far. You don't have very much to show. You don't have a whole lot of money. You don't have a big house. You don't have fancy cars. You don't have what this guy had. You don't have what this person has. But I'll tell you what they do have. They're still standing for God. Listen to me. I can't help but think there's a Christian in here tonight. I was burdened about this today, that's thinking to themselves, I don't know how this is worth it. I'm not seeing any progress. I'm not seeing anything. Listen to me. The fact that you're still standing is by the mercy of God.
Amen.
You know what Jeremiah said? Mm-hmm. When he was in captivity, after the families he loved had been torn apart, his loved ones had been killed, the city that he loved and that he worshipped in, the city of God, was burned down and tore up and evacuated, and they were carried off and made to be slaves. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He said, this I call to remembrance. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He said, listen, I'm still standing.
Amen.
The truth of the matter is, here tonight, we don't even deserve to be standing. You and I deserve nothing but separation from God. Burning in hell forever. Why? Because we're sinners.
Amen.
Because we're unholy. And He's holy. And He's perfect. And He's righteous. And we're not. But God made a way for us through Jesus Christ, our firm foundation, the solid rock of ages.
Amen.
To stand upon. Christian, tonight the storm is going to come. It's going to come upon the righteous. It's going to come upon the unrighteous. Are you going to stand or are you going to fall? two of the greatest Christians I've ever known in my life are going through one of the greatest trials that I've ever seen, that I couldn't even comprehend, understand what they're going through. Brother Roy Moles, gospel preacher, full of the Holy Ghost, loves God, raised up a family that raised up another family that's serving God now, been preaching the gospel faithfully, standing upon the Word of God for 50 years. He's ate up with lung cancer. They've stopped the treatments. They've stopped trying different methods. It's just eating his body away, all the things they're trying. He just wants peace. And it breaks my heart when I see him. He doesn't look as healthy. His skin looks paler. His hair is falling out more. And he just looks weak. And you can tell he doesn't have as much energy as he used to. But when I ask him how he's doing, he said, "I'm doing great, brother. Still preaching. Still serving God. Still winning souls." Last month, took his family to a camp meeting down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Got back from the meeting, and that night, his dear little wife fell down the steps, broke her hip. Was there about all night in excruciating pain. Got taken to the hospital, had emergency surgery, working on rehab so she can get to walking so she can help take care of Brother Roy. I'm talking about a holy man of God. A lady that loved God and served God by his side faithfully all those years, raised up that family, trained them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They're going through a storm. But you know what? They're still standing. They're not shaking. The storms, the floods, they can beat all they want upon that house they built, but they're still standing. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head still bowed and every eye still closed tonight, I wonder how many of you is in here tonight. Maybe you're going through a storm. Maybe you're right in the middle of a storm. Maybe you feel like there's one on the horizon. You got one coming. Maybe you've gone through the storm and God's been faithful just as He always has. And thank God your house was built upon that rock. Maybe you want to come to the altar tonight and just thank Him. Thank Him for who He is. Not just what He's done, but who He is. There's plenty of us in here tonight. We need to touch a God. There's plenty of us in here tonight. There's not a one of us too big to fall. There's not a one of us that isn't tempted to just take the easy way out and build that house upon that sand and hear those words and read those words and go to church and look the part and go through the motions, but we're not obeying these things. It's easy for us to do, but I pray tonight that we'll do some digging. I pray we'll get down to that rock. I pray we'll get on our faces in our prayer closets and seek Jesus. He said, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." I pray there's some Christians tonight that make up their mind and do a little bit of digging. Maybe you got someone in your family that's going through a storm. Maybe you got somebody in your family, they're a cruising for a bruise and they're on the fast track to hell. They're building their house upon that earth and you are the intercessor for them. You're the one taking their name to the throne. Why don't you come to the altar tonight and pray for them? I invite you tonight. Wayward loved ones, family members, co-workers. Giving up is the easy thing to do. I pray by God's grace, we'll just keep on fighting. We'll just keep on serving. We'll just keep on digging. We'll just keep on building. And so that one day when we stand before God as believers, our works won't burn up as wood and as hay and as stubble, but we'll have precious stones and gold and silver and crowns, heavenly crowns, to cast at the feet of our Savior. I pray tonight that God will make it real in our hearts, that He'll strike into every heart in here a fear, a holy, reverent fear His love, His word, of His ordinances, and that God might help us to observe those things. The heart full of love towards Him. I want to build my house upon the rock tonight. I don't know about you, but I want to build my house upon the rock tonight. Do you see the resemblance? Do you see it in your life? Is your house going to go to ruin, or is your house going to stand on the rock? Is it going to be ravaged? Is it going to be torn down? Is it going to be destroyed? Or are you going to dig? Are you going to fight? Are you going to walk by faith? Are you going to serve God even when it's not easy? I tell you what, I thank God for the progress I've seen in people's lives in this church. I believe the growth in size of population is, I believe it's on the horizon. I believe it's to come, but I believe we've seen some spiritual growth in the people we have here. I've seen spiritual growth in my life. I pray that God, by His Holy Spirit, will just help us to build our house upon that rock. I wonder, would there be one among us tonight that slip up their hand and say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. Brother Tom gave that testimony of salvation. I got under conviction because I know I'm not saved." Is there one among us in here tonight that would be honest and just raise their hand and say, "Pray for me. I need to get saved"?
Still where it's always been. It hasn't moved. It hasn't changed. It's still there. God's just asking you tonight, where are you going to build? Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, we do thank You for Your preaching in this word, Lord, that convicts us and helps us, Lord. God, I pray that we'd humble ourselves, and Lord, that we'd realize that it's high time to get to serving God, Lord. There's not much time left, Lord. You've given us life. You woke us up this morning, put the breath in our lungs, and Lord, blessed us, allowed for us to get out to the house of God tonight, fellowship with one another, and look for Your Spirit, God. And Lord, we just pray, God, that You'd convict us and help us, Lord, to take it with us as we leave. Not to just be hearers of the word, but doers, Lord, that we might both see and understand and observe these things, Lord, that can change our lives and make us more like You. I pray, God, that every single person in this sanctuary tonight would leave here having made the decision to build their house upon the rock. Thank You for Wednesday night prayer meeting. Thank You for Calvary's cross and what You did to save us from our sins. Thank You for who You are. We pray that You'll bless us and keep us safe as we make our way home tonight. Let us honor and glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen.